You're listening to Mix Comic Podcast.
Your host, Mick.
Welcome to the podcast. This is episode 1 of Mick's Super Comic Podcast. I'm Mick, and today is August 30th, 2014. Thank you for downloading or streaming this Mick Red production. And got a little bit of an intro here. We're going to talk about kind of just a little bit about what the show's going to be about. The first thing is, I'm not a comic or Superman expert. I really enjoy reading them. And I find that I enjoy it more if there's like a companion podcast that I'm listening to, like John Wilson and J. David Weider's New 52 Adventures of Superman. That was such a fun show, and it still is whenever John Wilson's releasing new shows. But I enjoyed the first couple of years of New 52 Superman, but those guys, they really enhanced the experience. And since they aren't, you know, regularly recording anymore, I'm missing a chance to feel like I'm listening. I'm missing hearing people talk about the comics that I'm reading and going through all the crazy, you know, well, back then it was Grant Morrison, so there's all kinds of theories and wondering what's going on. And we're going to have that some in this Geoff Johns run, John Romita Jr. But so I'm looking forward to doing that, kind of exploring what this comic's talking about with you guys. And so I thought I'd do this podcast to do that. Just kind of share the experience and see if it enhances it the same way it does when listening to New 52 Adventures of Superman. And as far as what you can expect out of this show, I will cover at least the main Superman books I read once a month. Right now, the release date monthly will be the 15th. And, you know, I'm a couple behind right now because it's August 30th now. I believe number 34, which is part 3 in the series, came out this past Wednesday. I bought a combo pack, so it's not... For some reason, it's not available the same day. It wasn't available for 32 either. I had to wait a week to get it. But I like to have the combo pack so I can go into the local comic store at least once a month just to kind of check in. So you can expect new shows on at least the 15th. Now, I'll also be covering the list of 25 essential DC graphic novels. I don't currently have a schedule for that, but I'm looking forward to it because there's many that I haven't read. In fact, the one that I picked to start the series, I haven't read, and it's one of the more highly acclaimed comics out there. And I may sneak some multiversity coverage in if I can, especially if you guys let me know that you're reading it and you want to hear more about it. You kind of want to have a conversation on the issue. And the way I'm going to cover the comics will go kind of like this. I'll have a synopsis, just like most of the comic podcasts I listen to, followed by a regular talking points that grabbed my interest, some kind of just... little points if I can dig in there and find some things to talk about. Also, as I cover stories, I'm not going to spoil future books in the series if they are already out. Just in case you're following along with me, you know, for the first time, you're reading through it. Maybe it's years from now and you're reading through the Superman run and you want to, you know, kind of just like I like to do that too with the Crisis to Crisis. I'm reading through that and on two fronts. I'm reading back in like 89 forward. And I'm also trying to stay caught up with them now. So I'm kind of reading through two separate storylines of the same storyline. And I really appreciate the way that they don't kind of spoil you on it. They do a great job. Even though they drop little hints. But they keep it a lot of fun over there. And like any Mick Red production that I'm a part of, I'll keep the language family friendly. So as I've said many times on other shows, if you want to listen to this with your children in the car or wherever you guys are all together, you know, in the house or something, doing some housework, I'm not going to be like, you know, using kind of foul language. Hopefully a lot of these Superman comics, they don't get very suggestive or have other subject matter that I wouldn't want my kids to hear. So if something like that does come along, I'll be sure to warn you ahead of time. And I've got elementary girls myself, so I know how it is. It's very rare a podcast I can find that I can listen to with them around and really be kind of comfortable. Also, I will have a co-host from time to time, Redbeard, my good buddy, who did the Weird Live fan cast with me. Or I did it with him. We're just, you know, co-hosts. He may join, and he'll have a really cool perspective because he hasn't read a lot of comics, but he digs them, and he usually has a pretty unique perspective on a lot of things. So, and plus, he's funny, and everybody loves his laugh. I mean, he's super awesome. So, before I get too far, just want you guys to know you can email the show. You can email me at mickginger0@gmail.com. mickginger0@gmail.com. The number zero, that is. Yeah, I look forward to any kind of relation. No, what I meant to say. I look forward to any kind of feedback or anything you want to say about the comics we're covering or that you want to cover. That would be cool too. The format of this show for now is going to go like this, and these may change from time to time, but for now, I'll start off the show with a little intro and then a correction from the previous, show. If you guys write in and say, hey, you know, it didn't go like that or whatever, I'll be sure to kind of keep all that stuff in order. So I'm telling as close to the story that actually happened in a fictional book. Also, we'll cover any new iTunes reviews, and that's just kind of like a thank you for reviewing. And because we appreciate that, it helps people find the show, as I'm sure you guys know if you listen to podcasts. Then I'll do a synopsis, which for now I'm going to pull from Wikipedia to try to get these shows out. I want to catch up to the current Superman line. But let me start over. Okay, so correction, iTunes reviews, synopsis, then talking about the comic scene by scene, final note about the art of the book, try to cover some of the unanswered questions that were left, make some predictions on those. I'll give a rating. Then I'll go into cover some news that caught my eye. You know, maybe some Man of Steel stuff, maybe some other comic stuff that I'm interested in. Mostly Superman stuff, but probably some other things too. Then I'll try to have a question of the week or the month, whichever format we're going with, depending on the show. And then finish up with some listener feedback. But since we don't have any corrections or reviews, let me just go ahead and give out the spoiler warning. I'm going to be covering Superman 32. I'm going to spoil it all, talk about every part of it. Of course, I won't go any further than that, so if you're with me, you won't have to worry about getting spoiled. All right, so let's go ahead and get started with this synopsis, and I'll start off and just letting you guys know when I cover the names. I'm not the greatest at pronouncing the names, I don't know. I'll always emphasize the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable or whatever it is. But so let's go ahead and get started. Here's the credits. It's written by Giraffe Johns. Oh, okay, that's a bad joke. Written by Jeff Johns. John Romita Jr. is the penciler. Claus Jansen inked the issue. Laura Martin, colorist. Saul Cipriano, lettering. Romita Jansen Martin did the cover. And Aunt Lucia did the variant cover. I'm taking this from the Superman Rebirth Wikia. Somewhere in Omaha, Nebraska, 25 years ago, several scientists had deserted their military jobs and established the Ulysses Research Center so they could all work towards making a better tomorrow. Their investigation involved a strange matter called a realm from Dimension 2. However, Dimension 2 was breached and caused the strange matter to leak across the lab. To avoid the strange matter from further spreading, the scientists sealed the lab, but two scientists, Peter and Bridget, have been trapped inside. Knowing they could not escape, Peter and Bridget placed their son Neil in a probe and sent him to a place known as Dimension 4, where he could live. As the lab was consumed by the strange matter, Neil's ship barely escapes. In the present, Superman fights Titano across the streets of Metropolis, where Jimmy takes pictures of the fight. Titano is a big, like, robot gorilla. He has returned to his old job at the Daily Planet. Even though he has become rich after getting his parents' insurance money, Jimmy believes his parents are still alive, and if they return, they will make him pay for every dollar he spent. As Perry buys Jimmy's pictures, Clark arrives at the Daily Planet. Perry has called him to try to convince him to return to the Daily Planet, but Clark is not sure about returning. Later, Clark returns home and enjoys a quiet dinner. Then a large spacecraft looms above the city and begins attacking. Superman attempts to bring down the ship, but he is attacked by an enemy coming from inside the ship. Meanwhile, inside the ship, a cloaked man with a staff watches Superman fight with the Enforcer. He is aware that Superman is Clark Kent. The enemy deflects Superman's heat vision and punches him across a truck. But in that moment, a stranger enters the fight and confronts the enemy. Together, Superman and the stranger to fight the enemy. The stranger, introducing himself as Ulysses, is surprised that Superman can speak English, and Superman tells him he is in America. Ulysses says he believed himself to be the last son of Earth, but now is aware he is not alone. Okay, first off, some thoughts on the cover. Let me get back to the cover here. I thought it was pretty awesome for an intro to John Romita Jr.'s art. Also, Super Speed, which is... Well, let me just kind of explain the cover for those that either haven't seen it or whatever. If you just look at the cover of it, you can just see Superman, and he's running, and there's a blur behind him, and there's another instance of himself from, you know, just a split second ago that he's running. So there's just, like, different forms of him racing towards the page. And he's kind of got, you know, this determined look, and he's sprinting as fast as he can, it looks like. Even those hairs somehow hanging in his face. Looks cool, though. But if you open it up... Oh, wants me to... No, I'm not going to buy the book again. I'm going to log back in. And the background is just like a blur. But if you were to open the whole book up or go to the next digital page, you can see that it starts out with him as Clark, and he's it's just those different iterations in kind of a neat way as he's speeding towards the camera. And you can also see the suit's little digital effect as it's spreading across his body. But I liked it, and there was also a couple other variants. The Bombshell variant this month, when they did a lot of, on the 32 issues, they'd had, you know, they reenacted like World War II Bombshell with the females, and had Lois Lane on one. It was pretty cool looking. I didn't spend too much time or make any notes about it. So the first scene, 25 years ago, we're at Ulysses Research Center. Okay, so first thoughts are, wow, this is... You know, what's going on here? But as you can, as you see that they have a child, it begins to look a lot like Superman's origin. You got Doom scientists sending off their child to be saved while they stay behind and die. And, you know, they can't fit in the rocket, all that regular Superman stuff. And they're planning on sending him to the Dimension 4, and Dimension 2 is where the matter is coming out of. So I thought it was neat. There's a map on the first page of Earth, and then, like, I guess the direction that all the dimensions are, which is kind of silly, but I noticed that Dimension 2 is direct opposite side of Earth as Dimension 4, so they kind of sent him away from it. But it looks like, also, I'm just not noticing that it's saying we're in the Dimension 3. I don't think this is, like, 3D or, you know, 2D. It's just different dimensions. Now, I wonder how this fits into the multiversity concept. Hadn't thought about that before. But so they ship him off, and that launches us into this intro page. And I've got to say, I really like this page. I love this page. It starts up at the top. It's got DC Comics proudly presents, and it plays out just like, to me, it's very cinematic. It's got this, you know, little electric-looking burst, and it's just, then the next clip, the ship is coming out of it. It's kind of like, it's a lot like in the Superman leaving the exploding planet of Krypton, but in this, he's just somehow being transported over via this dimensional burst or whatever we're going to call it. Okay, so the baby here is really cute. They've got baby Neil in here, and you can notice the last frame, because there's a frame of him all snuggled in with a picture of his parents, and then it kind of zooms in on his face, and the last frame is his eyes, and it looks like his... He's got having some new powers being activated, which we'll see later in this, which may mean something later in the comic. Now the very next page is the title page. It says Superman, the Men of Tomorrow, and it's this beautiful two-page splash of Superman. He's just delivered a devastating blow to Titano, and his head is all exploded, and it's green, glowy, and computery inside. Luckily, that's not kryptonite. But there's not a whole lot more I can say about it, except it's just a great action shot. The cape is amazing. The S looks good here, which doesn't look great on the cover to me and in a few different places. The suit looks good. I like the way Romita draws the suit. It's just a great action shot, and people love to see Superman fight robots, which looks like we'll be getting a lot of this series, I'm guessing, just from some of the covers I've seen. And I'm not going to be overly critical of Romita's art, but there's something I'm going to mention because it's kind of funny. It's going to come up. This book reminded me of something I observed when reading Romita Jr.'s, if you ever read or saw Kick A, it's not Kick A, it's Kick something else, but about the real life superhero. I didn't realize it until I was reading this book, but I don't like the way Romita draws hands. For some reason, they just look really bad off to me. But it really, I don't dislike it. It's just funny to me. And so the next page, we've got more Superman fighting him, and Jimmy's trying to get this shot. And I expect him to be a big part of this arc, which is really cool. I'm glad they're including him so early. And so we're on the next page after that big action shot, and Superman's cape now looks like it's coming down to the back of his knee instead of, you know, down to his ankle. It's weird, but it looks cool. I mean, I'm whatever. We get a smooth transition to the Daily Planet where Jimmy is showing Perry the pictures about. And of course, Perry's going on about the quality of the photo, and you can't see very well. But, you know, what are you going to do with Superman? He's flying at super speed. And we learn here that Jimmy's been left a ton of money by his parents. And we also learn a few other things. His parents, business managers, call it a clerical error. The parents have some sort of allegations against them. Maybe that's why they disappeared. And he thinks when they reappear, which he thinks will happen, they will force him to pay it back. That's kind of sad. I mean, obviously he doesn't have a great relationship with his parents, and Jimmy is such a lovable character in the series, you just kind of feel for him already. And I don't know what Geoff Johns is trying to do here. And in making these notes, I'm kind of wondering if he's creating the expectation that they'll return, only to, well, more on that later. I like Romita's Perry. It looks pretty cool. Romita's a little bit more cartoony than that first early run on Superman. But I can appreciate the way Perry looks here. Looks good. And I love, there's a Smallville reference here. Perry asked Jimmy to get more than a blue and red blur. And of course, if you watch Smallville, they called them the red and blue blur. I love that. And then Clark shows up. Apparently, this is at Perry's request. And as they talk, they're walking down a hallway, and they pass three photos in one frame. The first one is Superman arrives in Metropolis. These are all, I guess, just big, great Daily Planet stories. Second one is Superman dead, which we haven't seen Superman dead. So I'm interested to see if we'll ever get to go back to see what that is. Maybe in a later Geoff Johns story, if he stays on. I hope he does. And then the last one, Superman Lives, where he's flying. And that reminds me of one of my favorite covers of all time, if not my favorite. I think it's an old Adventures of Superman with Tom Grummett, Doug Hazelwood, where he's just flying above Metropolis when he finally is back from the dead back in the 90s. And now I've read all of Action Comics, most of Superman Wonder Woman, but we haven't heard yet how he died. And that's, I hope, I don't know, I for one kind of hope we get that story at some point, and I don't care if they do an exact copy, which they couldn't really do, of that old story. Of course, at this point, you know, him and Lois haven't been together yet. So that would definitely play out differently. But yeah, I would like to see that in some way. And I don't think it was the end of the Grant Morrison run. No, it couldn't have been because the way that this picture is. Anyways, continuing. In a shot at the top of page 12, you can see a little of the Superman Lives logo. And Perry is blocking most of it, but you can make out a glimpse of Superman wearing red trunks and a yellow belt. I thought that was kind of funny, and I googled this, and apparently in some of the preview pages for this issue, the panel with all those three shots I was just talking about had the entire photo visible. So that was really funny. So yeah, that was fun. Just googled it. Apparently had the entire photo with red and yellow trunks. Not really sure why, but that's pretty cool. Maybe John Romita didn't know. Of course he knew. Had to have known. Had to have known. Why can't I enunciate that? Okay, first mention of a new character to me that I haven't heard of yet, Jackie Winters. I wonder what she will mean to the story. So now we've got Jackie Winters. We're going to have this dimensional character we'll talk about. And Perry mentions a few things to Clark about how he's watched him and how he's a loner and how he could have had Lois but let a guy like Jonathan Carroll swoop in. And he's telling Clark he needs someone to talk to, and that he's not, that Perry might not be the person, though I kind of wish he was the person for Clark to talk to. He needs to find somebody. And if you don't know, in this continuity, his parents are already dead. He doesn't have a lot of people to talk to. Then we get to a part of the story that I really thought was cool. We got these multiple interlaced stories. One is Clark is getting the home. He's getting home. He's talking to Diana, who is Wonder Woman. And for those just joining us now, Superman and Wonder Woman are together. And he's making dinner and eating it alone. Well, with this fish. He's got a cool little aquarium. Lois and I guess Jackie Winters are at a bar. And they're joking about Steve Lombard trying to buy them drinks. I think this is the only time we see her the entire story. We see Jimmy meeting with people who wants his parents' money, and he's not signing it over. And after that page, we have a nice little shots of Clark relaxing and looking at a photo album. And it looks like he might be having a soda or beverage of some kind. It's unmarked. When we get this really dynamic series of frames that show him hearing someone in trouble, and then he just streaks from him standing there to flying out the window. So, like, the picture is him removing his shirt, and he's looking towards the window, and then everything on the side of the window is, like, morphed into a streak that is already out the window. So it's a really cool little shot there. So we cut to the ship that's over Metropolis, and it's a weird, like, long, pointy, black ship. I don't get it. But it's firing on buildings near people with the same color energy that we see when Baby Neil is headed to the fourth dimension. And I like how Superman, and he flies in, and he doesn't even pause to size it up. He just shoots right into it. And first things first, let's see who's in there. He just shoots right in there. And, then basically when he hits it, and he's starting to make his way into it, which kind of looks like the Superman Unchained 1 cover. And again, we get the cape shorter here, but it still looks great. The thing, it shines a bright light at him and shoots him down into an army truck. And we get a glimpse of someone possibly in the ship who's calling him Superman. And then he calls him Clark. And that he taught Clark how to get up when knocked down. And I'm worried, was this supposed to be Jonathan Kent somehow? He always get up when you get knocked down. That's a far out there stretch, and surely not. But so a monster appears. That's not that same guy in the ship. But a monster appears, and maybe the most interesting thing to me happens in this issue is Superman hits him with his heat vision, and you can see the beams grow in size coming out of his eyes. And Superman is confused by this. And it's actually a great emotion. This is a little bit of emotion you can get from just a nose and a mouth. Like, he's kind of confused, maybe a little scared. Definitely puzzled about what this creature is doing to him. But then he just goes, the beams go all kinds of crazy. And it looks like it hurts him, even. And Superman asks him, you know, how did you do that? So, this isn't answered, this issue. We don't know what's going to happen. But how did this fourth dimension being cause him to, like, lose control of his powers whenever he hit him with it? And it's at this point the thing hits and cuts Superman with his shield, I guess? I don't know, but yeah, so it hurt him. What is this thing? Is it magic? Is he really strong? It's probably not kryptonite. I don't know. But it's really not looking good for Clark when Ulysses appears and just rocks this monster, man. And Superman steps back into the battle and helps finish the guy off with this two-page spread. But yeah, I guess I should go into a little bit more here. Yeah, he hits him with the shield, cuts him, and then just starts beating the crap out of Superman. He can't do anything to this guy. And though he's trying to, Ulysses shows up and doesn't have any problem with him. It's a great few panels of him flying this monster all around. And so then the very last two-page splash is Ulysses and Superman punching into this dude. You can see a big explosion in Metropolis. And the thing's knocked out. Of course, not dead. Let's see. What is, So these guys talk, and Ulysses is surprised that America is around, and this isn't possible. And behind you can see some people up on, like, a bent-over light post. It kind of reminds me of whenever it was announced that Bin Laden had been killed, and people were climbing up light posts and stuff, and the videos that you saw people celebrating. That was my first thought there. So when Ulysses realized Clark speaks English and he's in America, he speaks that somebody named Cleric had told Ulysses that they had destroyed his homeworld, and he believed it. But now he realizes it wasn't, you know, destroyed, and he kind of picks up Earth. And Superman asks who he is, and he says, "I'm, you know, they call me Ulysses." So he's not saying that's his name. Maybe he knows his name is Neil. And he thought he was the last son of Earth, but he's not alone. And then this last shot looks kind of off a little bit. I still like it. His face just looks weird. But, yeah, it was a nice touch of him being Ulysses and coming from the Ulysses place early on in the story. So, yeah, we talked about Jimmy earlier. I don't know what Johns is trying to do here. And in making these notes, like I was saying, I thought he was making the expectation of their return, because we're kind of expecting them to return, but what if they're dead? And that's kind of a twist that he's bringing us. That would be, I mean, not like Jimmy's parents have been a big part of the Superman story this far, but he would have, I mean, that's going to take a toll on Jimmy either way, because he's a good guy. Obviously, he's taking care of his family stuff, even though they are terrible to him, it sounds like. But yeah, okay, so if they're dead, then now Jimmy is alone in a way, like Superman is, and like Ulysses thought he was. So I wonder what they're going to do with that. But okay, notes on the art. Art was enjoyable overall. It's not my favorite Superman art, but I do like it. Even if I am going to make some jokes here and there about the hands and the fingers just being off. Now, there's some scenes like right here when Superman's holding his side and he's kind of far off. His hands look fine, but it's the close-ups of the hands that gets me. Oh, well, I'm not going to make that big a deal about it. Just going to drop little jokes here and there. Yeah, Ulysses' hair, which is kind of like his cape. It's really long and just blonde. It's another contrast to Superman's light hair, and he's got this black suit. Suit design is like, it's like a bandaged up person wearing black spandex, which is maybe not doing it enough justice, but it's still, it looks cool. I don't mind it that much. Some scenes the arms are gray, some scenes the arms are black. But yeah, Superman, let's see, let's click through here. Overall, he looks pretty good. And I'm going to defer to what Bailey says about giving a new artist time to draw Superman. And really, JR, whatever they call him, John Romita Jr., it's a pretty big deal. He's not done hardly anything at DC, if maybe just a few pictures or something. He's never done a comic that I'm aware of for DC, so this is pretty big to have him over, which, you know, he's done Kick-A, he's done Spider-Man, Iron Man, and he's just a little bit of Wolverine stuff, and he's a big guy in the comic world at Marvel, so it's great to have somebody who's loved like that over here drawing my favorite character. But we've got a couple great shots. I especially like, there's a couple face shots where he is talking to Perry, which are pretty cool. There's a great shot of him cooking dinner with his heat vision. I didn't mention that earlier. I love that. Just the slow moments of him reading the album looked good. Superman in action, he looked great. It's just, I don't know. It's not my favorite, I mean, shoot, but it's really, really good. The long hair behind Ulysses is interesting. We're talking about Superman, so. Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna give it a while. I do like the art, though. It's a welcome change. And it's, let's see, who was doing Superman before? It's Ben Rocafort, who is amazing. Last time I was reading Superman. But yeah, Romita's doing a great job. I'm looking forward to seeing what else he does. Okay, here's some predictions. This isn't a prediction, but please don't tell me that this is Jonathan Kent somehow that's up there in the ship. Maybe that's Cleric. I'm not sure who that is. But the guy, he knows Superman. He knows that he's Clark Kent. And it looks like he's a dimension from Dimension 4. And other prediction, I don't want this one to be true, but Ulysses turns evil somehow. It seems like every time people bring in a new character into the comics books, I won't mention any other stories because I'm pretty sure I'll be covering those in the DC Essential ones. But anytime there's a new person brought on, I'm always scared that they're going to be a villain at some point, especially if they're really good early on. So, but I'm hoping it gets that, especially since we know that it came from a good family and everything. But we've got some unanswered new questions this issue. Who is Ulysses? Will he end up being a villain? How does this new villain that knows Superman is Clark, how does he know Superman is Clark? Will Romita continue to have trouble drawing hands? And what's going on with Jimmy's family? Also, let me go ahead and type this in here. Who is Jackie Winters? Here's some more about that. If you guys have some unanswered questions from 32, be sure to send them on to me. Would love that. What did this issue bring us? Ulysses, his design is interesting enough. Not a big fan of the hair, like I said, but I guess everyone wears capes in superhero comics, so he's got to have something. And we're going to jump ahead to the ratings. I'm going to, out of 5 stars, it's going to be pretty consistent with this one, this number 4, because the story, I give it 4. It's really good. It's a good intro. It didn't blow me away or anything, but it was really good. I loved it. It was enjoyable. 4 for me, on the 5 scale. 4 is very, very good. 5 would be like best ever, and I'll do points, 0.5 or whatever. Art, I gave a 4. It was incredible in some spots, as good as you could ever want, I think, personally. And in some spots, it was kind of wonky. Even in some of the big shots, like whenever they're the 2-page splash, whenever they're destroying this monster, their faces look a little bit off and things. So, let's see. What else? I love the heat vision shots where he was started out. It was thin and precise, and then all of a sudden he lost control of it. That was neat. This new villain looks interesting. Superman's face is jacked up in this panel where he's flying up towards the ship. I love the Clark Kent he does. I don't like the way Clark looks like he's... maybe he's sticking his tongue out while he's cooking his food. But that's not very Clark-like to me. I don't know. Yeah, I'm having a lot of trouble finding problems with the art. But I still, just for my own enjoyment, I gave it a 4. And I may be grading a little bit low. But yeah, 4 out of 5 for me. And the cover was a 4. It was very cool. It was a neat idea. I really enjoyed that. And now, before we continue on to news and the question of the week, here's a couple promos. And these ones are near and dear to my heart. So please listen and enjoy. Only should take about a minute or so. I'll be right back.
They were like animals, and they sure as weren't like us anymore.
Where are the others? You know,
we were the only ones to show up.
Fall back! What is it doing?
Get him! He's up behind the front desk!
Get to that car, probably.
Get in there, please hurry! You see that?
I love that sound!
That was the trailer for We're Alive, the zombie audio drama, which can be found at zombiepodcast.com or on iTunes. You can just search for We're Alive.
Now, introducing the
We're Alive fan cast, a fan cast dedicated to a story of survival. Hey, this is Mick.
This is Redbeard.
We would like to introduce our new fan cast, in which we will be covering Season 4 of the zombie podcast audio drama known as
We're Alive. Join us as we review each episode as it comes out, leading into the conclusion of this great zombie story.
We can be found at mickred.com, that's mickred.com, or by searching for We're Alive Fancast on iTunes and Facebook.
All right, and we're back. So here's a few little tidbits of news that caught my eye. Again, it's August 30th, 2014, and there's tons of Superman set photos from Batman v Superman over at the supermanhomepage.com, and it's all over the internet. And I'm trying to stay away from these because, like Bob Fisher over at the Superman Forever podcast, I don't want to be too spoiled when I go see it
Luckily, I'd stayed away enough during Man of Steel that everything was pretty fresh to me. And even I had some ill-conceived notions from people, because early on they didn't know when Man of Steel flew if it was going to like hurt him. For some reason, I thought I'd heard that it was going to be painful for him to do that. So I was like, oh, okay, so a realistic Superman, it hurts for him to fly and exert this effort. That could be interesting, but okay, so that's not what happened at all. So yeah, I wouldn't mind being fooled on some things. Henry Cavill and Amy Adams did the ALS Awareness Ice Bucket Challenge. Check that out. It's kind of funny. Henry Cavill is in the new Batman v Superman Superman suit that's been modified a little bit. You can check that out. It's pretty cool. It just that dude's a ridiculous cartoon of him. He is Superman. My goodness. And question of the week, question of the month, question before Superman 32 or 33 coverage comes out at least. What voice do you hear when reading Superman? I would really like to hear what you guys had to say to that. Email me at mickginger0@gmail.com, or you can tweet that to @mickginger0. And I'll have a Facebook page up here pretty soon, probably something like Mix Super Comic Cast or Mix Comic Cast. We could talk about it on there as well. But yeah, I'll talk about what I hear in the next show and how it's changed over the years. But I would really like to hear what you guys had to say. And there is no real listener mail or feedback, but so I'll just go ahead and finish with the outro. I just want to say thanks, guys, for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. If there was a segment you didn't like or a segment you'd like added, let me know. If you have some thoughts on what I thought about it or what you thought about it, if you write in, we'll definitely cover that in the show. You can find more of our stuff at mickred.com, mickred.com. We are also do the We're Live Fancast, which you heard the promos earlier. We cover that awesome audio drama called We're Live, which that show is on zombiepodcast.com, and it's on iTunes. It's amazing. And let's see. I mean, you could look me up. I'm going to have this show on YouTube as well. So if you need to listen to it there, I tried to do that with the last podcast. It just didn't work out with as busy as we were on that, but I'm going to try to keep that up for this show. But hey, I just want to say, thank you for listening again. And I look forward to talking to you soon about some more Superman and the next one. I guess I'll go ahead and tell you guys now, if you've stayed this long to listen, then first DC Essentials I'm going to cover, it's the first one listed on the 25, and it's The Watchmen. I'm excited to read it. I've never read it. I've never seen the movie. So if you guys would not spoil me on that, I would appreciate it. But I hope you're excited to hear it. And I wonder, is that a perspective that's interesting to you? Hearing somebody kind of read through a story that's never read it before? Because when I do Watchmen, I'm probably going to do 2 or 3 issues at a time, stop reading, record a show about it, and then continue reading it and just kind of say, you know, what I think might happen, or what I think is they're building to. I'm going to share that with you guys. And if you haven't read it too, feel free to read it with me. That'd be a lot of fun. Also, I've already read the first couple parts of Death of the Family a few months ago, and I had checked it out from the library and had to turn it back in. And I've already even recorded the first 2 shows of that. So I need to check that out and come back to it. Yeah, it would be interesting. I'll probably cover that up later on down the road, but once again, thank you for listening to episode 1 of a Mixed Super Comic Cast. I would appreciate you writing. Let me know what you think. And this has been Mick. Talk to you later. Thanks for listening to Mick's Super Comics Cast. If you would like to send feedback to the show, you can email me at mickginger0@gmail.com. And I'll read your mail on the show in the feedback section. You can find the show on Facebook. Just search for Mix Comic Cast or click the link in the show notes. Special thanks to Kevin MacLeod for allowing the show to use his song, Our Story Begins. This has been a MickRed Network production. Find this show and many others at MickRed.com. All right, it looks like we're recording. It's always so odd just talking to yourself, but knowing you're talking to other people. Welcome to the podcast. This is episode 1 of Mick's Super Comic Podcast. I'm Mick, and today is August 31st. Hold on a second. Can't even get started. Welcome to the podcast. This is episode 1 of Mick's Super Comic Podcast.